Success Systems Podcast. I'm Tom Vail, and with me is my co-host, Stephen Hurd.
And this is your blueprint for success in mindset, career, relational, and financial health. Make sure to click subscribe so that you can receive actionable and practical insight on how to achieve your goals in these areas very quickly and efficiently.
Stephen, why don't you tell our audience what this episode is all about?
Thank you, Tom. All right, guys. So the title is 10 Things You Can Do to Generate Motivation Immediately, right? So what we're going to be talking about today is first, we're going to define what motivation is. What are we actually talking about here? Secondly, we're going to get into why you want more motivation, all right, how it's going to benefit your life. So we'll spend a few minutes on that, and then we're going to dive right into the topic. So we will give you 10 specific points, things that you need to do to generate motivation immediately, also followed by a few real-life examples about what Tom and I are doing to get high levels of motivation whenever we have a goal.
So my question right off the bat is, how would you define motivation?
Yeah, good question, Tom. So my definition of motivation is increasing the amount of internal drive that you have to achieve a goal, right? When it comes to achieving a goal, it's really a mental game. So when you have higher levels of motivation, you tend to have a higher self-drive to accomplish it, right? For example, if it's your if you're really motivated to go to the gym often, you will you'll have a higher drive internally. You'll feel like your body doesn't resist achieving that goal as much as it does when you have low levels of motivation.
Why do you want more motivation? Why would anyone say, you know, I feel pretty motivated, I kind of check in, I clock out. Why would someone want more from their daily routine? Why would someone search for more of that motivation?
Yeah, so I think for myself personally, when it comes to achieving bigger goals, a lot of the tasks are really difficult. Okay, so if like you want to have your optimal health, you have to do things like squats, right? You have to do things like go to the gym 4 to 5 days a week. You have to really push yourself. And in order to do those consistently, because that's where success comes, is when you consistently do the right activities, you need to be highly motivated. If you have 2 to 3 days a week where your motivation is not that high, the chances of you going to the gym and doing the leg exercises you need to do is minimal.
I completely understand that. Is I think that there's an inherent nature for us to remain in our comfort zone, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we want our schedules to be predictable. We want predictable outcomes, and we like being comfortable. You know, I read this quote, and it basically said, "The moment that I stopped making excuses is when I started to see results."
Yes.
And that is true. It's taking that internal monologue and that honest look with yourself and saying, you know what, I don't like this area of my life. I want to improve it. How do I get there?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the internal motivational comes from not being okay with settling with the status quo. It is not okay to be status quo. It's I refuse to have that. You know, a little personal story with that. So growing up, I was 175 pounds in fifth grade.
Wow.
And so I got made fun of. I was called Chris Farley. I mean, really poked at all the time. And I remember I was trying on clothes in a Kohl's shopping center, just a, you know, like a Tilly's or something like that. And I remember I tried on all the shirts that all the regular kids were wearing, smalls and mediums, and I was wearing larges and extra larges.
Mm.
And I just remember I said to my mom, I said, you know, when will this go away? And through her almost fighting her tears, she's like, it will go away. And that kind of internal belief caused me to believe that in myself, but it was also that memory. I'll never forget it. And I said, this will go away. And
yeah,
I will do whatever I can to make it go away. And, you know, the best part is like in that the summer going into like eighth grade, I lost 34 and a half pounds. And
that's
so,
awesome.
Yes, it was great, but I had that honest, literally in the mirror, look at myself going, this has to change. But that's just physical.
Yeah.
We're going to cover, as these 10 points that you've laid out, what professional, relational, career, we're going to cover the whole gambit as this podcast covers. So I want to ask you, what can you walk me through, or really all of us through, the first step into how to increase the motivation?
Yeah. So again, the goal is increasing the internal drive, that internal level of desire to actually accomplish something. Okay. When someone says, you know, I am struggling with low levels of motivation, they're really saying I have low levels of desire to accomplish this goal. So how do we generate that desire? Well, one way is, and this is a hack I've been using for almost, 7 or 8 years now, is putting a copy of your yearly goals on your keyboard. Okay. So when you have, you know, when you set your goals in the beginning of the year, your personal goals, your relational goals, your business goals, you should put those on one piece of paper, one simple piece of paper, and put that on your keyboard to your office or your home office, wherever computer you're on consistently. So here's what it looks like for me. Every day when I walk into my office, I have my yearly goals sitting on top of my keyboard. I will pick them up, and before I turn my computer on, before I get into that distraction mode, I review quickly what are my yearly goals. Okay, so I'll just briefly read. This might be maybe takes me 1 minute, and I'll look at, okay, my physical goal for, you know, this year, it's 2019, is to get a really strong core, to really work on my core muscles. So I briefly review that goal. I have goals for vacations, to take 4 or 5 vacations this year. So on my goal list, I have a vacation plan to Coronado, California, Cabo San Lucas, Big Bear, like a lot of these local places, right? So reviewing that gives me a higher level of motivation, a higher level of desire to do the activities that I need to do today in my job that will lead to that result. And I'm a, you know, I'm a real estate agent and I'm a salesperson. So when I'm, a lot of the things that I have to do is prospect and follow up with clients. Those activities are not easy to do every single day. So knowing that I have these goals I'm going to accomplish, I have a higher level of desire to get on the phone, talk to people, and do what I have to do.
You recently finished Think and Grow Rich Again, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and you finished it this week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now so much of what Napoleon Hill is talking about, for those of you who haven't read it, I'm not going to, there's no spoiler alert. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to reveal the greatness that is that book. And I definitely encourage everyone to look into it. But a big part of what Napoleon Hill talks about is the subconscious mind,
mm-hmm.
right? Do you feel that those goals, seeing them every, you see your yearly goals every day.
Yeah.
What do you feel that that is doing to the subconscious mind? What do you, is that beneficial in that regard? Where are you seeing the benefits of that, seeing it every day habitually?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I don't know the real science behind the mind and the subconscious mind, right? Other than what I've read in a lot of self-development books. What I can say for myself is that viewing those goals, you know, and mentally picturing them in my head, it leaves me with this constant, you know, picture in my head of myself achieving them, right? So every time I read the goal and it says, have a strong core, I see myself doing activities that lead to a strong core. So I'm just naturally, you know, more motivated and comfortable really doing those activities because I've already rehearsed them in my head over and over again.
Got it. So the repetition, you know, I think Zig Ziglar said, repetition is the father of success. And it's so true. It's not, you know, even Jerry West said, if we only worked out on the days that we felt good, we would not go that far.
Yeah.
You know, so I think seeing something consistently all the time in your face helps tremendously. Even just from my personal, there's a planner that I use. It's called Best Self Company mm-hmm. Planner. And every planner comes with a massive goal. It's a dry erase poster. And you put it up there. So I wrote down my top 12 goals or top 10 goals for this year, and I've already crossed off 2. And
good
so
job.
But the thing is, I think a big reason of why I was able to cross them off is because they were staring at me in the face.
Yes.
They were in front of me all the time. The thing is, you can't run from what you said you were going to accomplish.
Yeah, and it's funny. We're sitting here right now recording this in one of my associate's office, and he is a super good salesperson, you know, Hall of Fame award 5 years in a row, meaning he met his production goal 5 years in a row. And as I look to the right, which the listeners can't see this, we've got his goal board right next to us. Now, I'm not going to reveal his personal goals, but it's just funny how people who are highly motivated, they keep their goals in front of them. People who are not very motivated, they keep their distractions in front of them. And that's the difference, is when you're looking at your goals all the time, you have more desire to achieve them. You're looking at distractions all the time, you feel weighed down, and you don't have desire to change things in your life, which is kind of a good segue into the next point.
And so our second point is write out the pleasure and pain exercise of taking action. Will you walk us through what that is?
Yeah, so in a lot of books on success, they call it the pleasure and pain matrix. And this is really interesting because if we just master this one habit, we can control our levels of motivation for the rest of our lives. Okay, so let that sink in for a second. Call it the pleasure and pain matrix. Here's the theory that when you associate more pain than pleasure with a certain activity, you will not do that activity.
That makes sense.
If you associate more pleasure than pain with an activity, you're more likely to do that activity, okay? So here's some literal examples. Let's say you want to go to, one of your goals is to go to the gym 3 times a week.
Okay.
People who are really healthy, they're very aware of the benefits of working out, right? They know that it helps your immune system get stronger. It helps you to sleep better. It gives you more energy levels. You have a better mood, morale, mental clarity. Those are like 5 really good benefits right there. People who don't work out often, they're not very aware of those benefits. They tend to think more about the pain of getting in the car and driving to the gym, or the pain of doing the leg workouts, or whatever it might be, right? So if you're not very motivated to go to the gym each week, let's say 3 times, one thing that you can do is you can list 10 benefits of going to the gym 3 times a week and 10 negatives of not going to the gym 3 times a week. Okay, so both ends of the spectrum. So this is going to get a little confusing, but I'm going to make sure everyone gets it. So the goal is I want to go to the gym 3 times a week. 10 benefits. This is where you will take out a pen and paper. This can't be done verbally. It won't have the same effect. So you take out a pen and paper, and you say, okay, benefit number one is I'm going to have increased levels of energy. Benefit number two, I will have an internal sense of accomplishment, which will make me feel better about myself. Number three, when I take better care of my health, I generally eat healthier. Number four, I sleep better, right? So you're listing all these benefits. And as you list them, you start to say, wow, I'm starting to get motivated to do this activity,
exactly.
Right? Even talking about it, I feel more motivated to go to the gym.
I want
to
leave this and go to the gym right now.
Exactly. Now, here's where the real motivation comes in. And this is something, I don't like the word hack because I just think it's kind of over-popularized. But this is a hack, guys. Like if you do the opposite end and you write out the 10 pains of not doing something, that will scare the crap out of you, and that's what gets people into action. So you really want to get motivated to go to the gym, write out 10 bad things that happen if you don't go to the gym. So number one could be, like, you're the health expert, Tom. What would you say is one really bad thing that could happen if you don't go to the gym consistently?
I mean, definitely is it's the sleep factor for me.
Yes.
So without sleep, I'm a zombie. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't. It affects every part of it. Slows down your metabolism. Your muscle recovery is a lot less, and you're just overall in a bad mood, in
yes.
a bad place. So for me, I go for the ability solely to get great, healthy sleep.
So let's dive into that a little bit because you mentioned a few things. So if you have a bad mood, mm-hmm. and you're a salesperson, right, medical salesperson, what's going to happen if you have a bad mood in front of a prospect?
I'll lose the sale.
Exactly.
And that directly affects my income. So
exactly.
I have to be, I mean, we're in a people-facing business, right? That's what we're best at. We're best at communicating clearly, professionally mm-hmm. to these individuals, because these individuals and the relationships we're able to build come by way of a receipt at the end. We monetize the relationship. And the consistent cultivating of that is key to our success as salespeople.
Yes.
But in order for us to do that, we have to look and feel our best.
Yes.
And other people, other prospects, other clients, potential clients, it's like a sixth sense. They can sense mm-hmm. when you're not fully engaged. They can
yeah.
sense when you're burnt out. No one at all wants to work with a burnt out, tired, grumpy salesperson.
Yes. So let's pause right there. Okay, let's just do, just between you and I, mm-hmm. just talking about this, can you feel your level of energy going up?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I've done this exercise, thousands of times, so I'm kind of like a little bit immune to it in a certain sense.
Right.
Like, it doesn't have as big of an effect now as it did when I started, but I can feel myself being way more motivated. Like, I'm already thinking of ways I can go to the gym more.
Right.
So that's my point to you guys who are listening is, write out 10 benefits of any activity you want and 10 negatives of what happens if you don't do it. A really powerful one to do right away is your finances. Hey, here's 10 good things that happen if I save money. Here's 10 bad things that happen if I don't save money. And that will cause you to be much more cautious with how you spend.
So is the combination of those two lists what yield the motivation? Like one of them is benefit is one of, and one of them is pleasure is these are the 10 things that help that are going to be beneficial. And the other 10 are consequential. So is it one list or the other, or is it a combination of both lists?
Good question. So it's a combination of both, right? It's not just enough to know that if you get good grades, if you do your homework, you're going to get good grades, right? In high school or college or whatever. If there's no consequence, you're not going to be very motivated. Like what happens if you get bad grades and there's no consequence? Who would be motivated to do this studying, which is really hard? It's many hours. It's grueling. You have to read. Like there's a lot of effort that goes in studying. So it's that consequence that really fuels you to do the difficult work. And it's the pleasure of what you get afterward that gives you that added sense of hope and something to look forward to.
Yeah, I agree. And just to kind of wrap up that point, you know, again, it's like I go back to, you know, being obese in grade school. I mean, those kids are vicious when they're teasing you. And so for me, every meal that I choose and every time that I'm, you know, maybe not as motivated to go to the gym that day or in that moment, I remember the pain of that as a child growing up. And I made a promise to myself. I said, I'll never be in that place again.
Yeah.
But I made that promise out of pain. And that it's not necessarily, that's not a bad thing. You know, don't take the word pain and make it like a, yes, it's a pain point. It's not a, but that's a huge thing. So anytime
it's
not a negative thing because ultimately, you know, you can even rephrase that with sacrifice and say, okay, well, I'm sacrificing this bad meal choice today for a healthier body tomorrow. Yeah. So now that we've gone over putting your goals on your keyboard, you know, I know for me, it's on my wall that it's within eyesight or all the time. And it's there consistently reminding you, hey, you have these goals to do it. And we've also written out the benefits, pain and pleasure points of the benefits of taking action to achieve them and what it would be like to not achieve them. Mm-hmm. What more specifically in step three is writing out that plan. What does that plan look like to accomplish these goals?
Yeah. So the third hack to really get highly motivated is, and this can even be done right after you write out the pleasure and pain of a certain activity, is writing out a 5 to 7 point plan to achieve that goal. Okay. So look at it this way. Let's say you wanted to attend a certain college or you're thinking about getting into college, right? You know, this is like 10 years ago. And it's a little bit confusing to you. You're not sure what you're supposed to do. And then a counselor comes up and says, listen, Tom, in order for you to get into college, you need to get this many credits, take this many courses in this amount of time. And here's the best professors and here's the best classes to take. And here is how you will know you're on track. Yes or no, are you more motivated than when you started?
I'm way more motivated.
Exactly. So
my steps in front of me.
One of the ways that we get motivated is when we feel that we have a more clear path to a goal. And that's what writing it out does. So as an example, let's say our goal was to start a podcast. Mm-hmm. So as we started talking, we reduced a plan to writing and we said, hey, step one was research and find out, you know, what is our topic going to be on? Step two, research the amount of products we need, the things like that. So we put it in writing in chronological order. And right after we did that, we got super motivated to get started. Before, it was just a discussion topic. And then the plan was like, okay, I'm going up the stairs. Here's the steps. Now I just have to jump.
Exactly. And that became anytime that there's a big goal. You know, for me, my next massive goal is to obliterate my student loan debt, right? Mm. And as a accountability piece, it even pains. Well, again, you know, we've already gone over what the word pain means, but for anyone who's, you know, tuning into this podcast right now, student loan debt is a real thing. You know, one in six graduates have an average of $37,000 in student loan debt. That's the average. And that's adjusted for inflation and things like that. Our current national student debt is, I think it's $1.73 trillion. So that's more than Amazon and Apple are worth.
Yeah.
And so to me, I have $125,000, what I would call the mountain of debt. Mm-hmm. But I have been in that position before where I've had credit card debt and I've gone through it. I've clawed my way out. But the way that I got through it was that I sat down with a financial advisor, and this is, you know, for my student loans, is that the feeling of taking progress, however small the step, I think that's a big thing. I think a lot of us think progress is made in like one massive event. And I'm telling you right now, it's not.
No.
It's absolutely not there. Like even with the podcast, we have to say, okay, what's our title? Where's the logo? Where's the intro? It comes in steps. It's and so the same thing, you know, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And so when I first took that initial step of sending like $3,000 towards a student loan debt, you know, a lot of people might, you know, say or think, well, that's just a drop in a bucket. That's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
That is so not true.
Yeah.
Is that's $3,000 that I've invested into myself to get towards the dream of doing it. So for anyone, for those listening, whether it's a massive health goal, whether it is a relational goal, whatever it may be, just take the steps necessary. And when you write them out and you take them, the momentum that you will feel is overwhelming. And once that momentum starts, it is very difficult to stop it.
Yeah. And I see this happen a lot of time with salespeople that join our real estate team where they come in with these big goals. They're like, I want to make 100,000, 200,000, 300,000. And then we break it down and say, okay, in order to do that, you need to do this many open houses. You need to talk to this many clients. You need to do this many networking events. And they're like, oh, okay, now I can take that and break it down into smaller sub goals, right? Exactly. So great point. And one of the things to just share right now is that in the show notes of this episode, I'm going to share my yearly goal setting system. So it'll be a PDF of what I do to practically set my goals for the year. So if you guys are listening to this and you maybe don't know where to start with the goal setting and the planning, this is a very simple step-by-step process to at least, you know, have a plan to make a plan, right? And so just to get that started. So why don't we transition into point number four?
So point number four is declaring your specific goal and a plan to multiple people. So a big part of this, or just another one word of explaining point four, is accountability.
Yeah.
Seeking accountability. What benefits have you seen in your life in terms of the goals that you've accomplished by having a big focus on accountability?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think accountability is like the secret sauce to high achievement. I mean, when you have people holding you accountable, there's some crazy stat I heard the other day that, you know, if you sign up to the gym with a friend versus doing it yourself, you're like 80 or 90% more likely to achieve it. Oh, wow. I don't know how accurate the stat is, but I think we all internally know that that's true, right? So on the topic of just explaining what I mean by declaring your specific goals and plan, you know, there's a reason it's called the Declaration of Independence and not the Secret of Independence, right? Yeah. They're declaring it. They're saying, this is going to happen. They're stating it and not saying, we're hoping we're going to break through and get freedom. They're saying, we've decided that this is the pursuit that we're going to take. This is the course of action. And here's our plans, just so everybody knows. And the same power that put that document into play, that gave birth to an amazing nation, is the same power that you can put at work to get an extreme amount of motivation for your goals. So here's how it works out practically. Again, using the example of going to the gym 3 times a week. If you decide you want to go to the gym 3 times a week and you're not motivated, you are going to call your friends who you think will support that goal, or have meetings with people you think would want you to achieve that goal. Maybe it's a personal trainer, maybe it's your family, whoever you think is going to support you. And you're going to tell them your specific goal, why that goal is important to you, and what your plan is. So it could look like this. Tom, I've decided I'm going to go to the gym 3 days a week moving forward. And the reason I want to do that is because I have gained a little bit of extra weight in my stomach area, and I'm not happy with the way that I look in my clothes. I want to feel better, and I want to look better, and I know that there's a lot of other benefits to eating healthy, such as getting better sleep. And I would really like to get more sleep so that I can feel better and do better in my job. So there's the goal. There's the why. Now I'm going to declare my plan. Tom, my plan is I'm going to go to the gym Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'm going to put it in my schedule. I'm going to lay out my clothes the night before. I'm going to pack and prepare my meals so in case, you know, I miss breakfast or something, I can have some breakfast at the office. And I declare the plan to you. Now, that's one time you do that to someone, you're going to get really motivated. But here's what I do. I share it with anyone and everyone and anyone who I think will be supportive and is willing to listen. Okay, so you declare that to 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people. What happens is knowing that they know about your goals.
Exactly.
And they know what you're going to do is like hammering a nail into a piece of wood. It mentally cements it in your mind, and you start to say, you know what? This has turned from a wish to a commitment. Right, I'm not letting down these 10 people. Now that they know about it, I have to do it.
I think that's a great point. It goes back to when you sign up to the gym with a friend, right? Is we, I think, all have this kind of internal, you know, MO of I don't want to let that person down.
Yeah.
And even if it's not yourself, it's the other person. So, you know, if I say to, you know, if I said any goal to 10 people, you know, I want to save this amount of money, I want to pay off this amount of debt. When those 10 or however many people know about your goal, whether you know you work with someone in an office setting, whether you see them consistently on a weekly basis, they will, in their subconscious, they'll be like, oh yeah, he's trying to lose X amount of weight. He's trying to go on this trip. He's trying to do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, and they'll even remind you of it sometimes.
They'll say, hey, how's that gym thing going? You go, yes. Oh, you know, it's going really well. And it's not, this isn't, you know, these aren't motivated by like admissions of guilt. These people that you choose to tell this to, be careful. Be careful on the ones that the only criteria that they have to have is they've got to have kind of like alligator's blood. They've got to stay.
Yeah.
They've got to stay in the ring and push you to a way that it's not motivated by guilt, because that's a bad motivator oftentimes, is it's done out of care.
Yeah.
Is, hey, are you reaching this goal? Because if you're off track, I care enough about you to get you back on track. So again, for those listening, those who want to set that goal, it is far better to tell 5 people that genuinely care about your progress than 10 people who just had 5 minutes to hear you out.
Definitely. Yeah. You don't want to share it with the ESVs of the world, all right? The energy sucking vampires, right? These are the people that they are just looking for something to criticize, right?
They want to bring you down.
The world is full of, especially with social media right now, the world is full of people who have an opinion. An opinion from someone who has no results means nothing, right? If somebody's not super healthy and they say, this is my opinion about your health goals, it's in one ear and out the other. So what I like to remember is the quote is that positive people have a solution for every problem. Negative people have a problem for every solution.
Exactly.
No matter how many solutions you bring up, they're always going to want to tear it down. So share it with people who you think are going to encourage you, and purposefully surround yourself with those encouraging people. If someone discourages your goal to go to the gym or says, don't go after the goal or don't try, that's a pretty clear indicator that you need to lovingly eliminate that person from your schedule in various ways.
Exactly. And as we go into to hack number 5 is how it's visualizing achieving the goal. And so there's a bit in the book the One Thing, and
By Jay Papazan and Gary Keller.
That's right. And so that book is awesome. And so a big part of that book that I really took away was the act and art of visualization. And so there's that one example of shooting the free throws, is they had, you know, 5 people shooting free throws for a certain, you know, hours a day. And they would shoot, you know, hundreds, maybe even like up to 1,000 free throws. And then they had one group of five people that didn't shoot the free throw. They were just a visualization group. Mm-hmm. And all they did for that same amount of time that group A, we'll call them, was shooting and doing the act of free throws. Their job was to visualize shooting the free throws.
Yeah.
And when they compared the statistics when group B actually shot, they were only off, you know, granted muscle memory came into play, the ones that actually shot and did it performed better, but it was not by that small of a margin. So yeah. How important is visualizing the goal that you want to achieve?
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, I think when I got interested in this was when I first started real estate. I'm 29 now and I started when I was 19. And a lot of my colleagues at the time were millionaires, right? So it's like I didn't go and start with a company where it's like you're amongst your peers. I was a 19-year-old amongst 50 and 60-year-olds. And a lot of them were really, really successful people. And so as I asked them about what they did to become successful, I was astonished when I found out that they had, most of them had visualized their way to success. So meaning they saw a picture, you know, kind of in the end of the tunnel of what they wanted their life to look like or what they wanted their business to look like. And then they visualize themselves doing the activities that led to that goal. And by visualizing it, it somehow motivates us to be more focused and more motivated to do that goal. So if you wouldn't mind, Tom, I would like to do a little live example of visualizing a goal with you. And I want you to tell me afterward how much you think your motivation level went up or down. Okay. So in terms of a percentage, I want you to label the first thing that comes to your mind, hey, I went up 30% motivation or I went down in 20%.
Okay?
So close your eyes.
Okay.
So Tom, you have the student debt, right?
That's right.
So I want to picture yourself. What's your goal of when you want to have it paid off by?
By 35. Or earlier.
By 35, okay. And you are
29
right now. Okay, so you're a pretty old guy already. So it's 35 years old. I want you to fast track and take yourself there. Okay. It's 35 years old. You're sitting there and you're in your home and you're sitting on the porch. It's a beautiful sunny day outside. You know, the sunset's kind of going down. You've got your favorite drink next to you. You're sitting there with your significant other and you just feel really good. And as you're sitting there, you're looking back and you're seeing all the times where you were focused and disciplined to take any money you earned and save it or pay down your debt. And you see yourself getting paychecks, divvying up the money, and paying down debt. And I want you to see yourself each month, each, you know, quarter, each year, paying it down faster and faster and faster. You pay one down, which means you have additional money. You use that additional money to pay down more debt. And it's like the snowball effect, right? And so I want you to see yourself making that last payment. You're calling the debt company and you're saying, I am done. This is over with. My debt is paid off. Here's my last payment. I'm free, right? And I want you to focus on how you're feeling, right? How does that feel? Your debt is paid off. You're free. You have that anchor taken off you. It's like you threw off a big weight off your back, okay? And I want you to see yourself having that additional money in your monthly budget. So now you look at your monthly budget. What used to go to debt is now going towards saving and investments. So you're totally debt-free. You're sitting there and you're just thinking, man, I am so glad that I took the actions necessary and I feel great. Now open up your eyes. What is the first number that comes to your mind percentage-wise? Are you more motivated or less, and how much is it?
More motivated by 50%.
By 50%?
Right.
Okay. So you guys, that was a real-life example. I didn't give Tom a heads up that I was going to do that on him, and he opens his eyes and says 50% more. Okay? Try to find an Olympian. Try to find a top-of-the-line Olympian who didn't say, I visualize myself achieving the medal. Why? Because when you get a mental picture in your mind of what the goal is, you get extremely clear on what the target is. And the more clear you are on the target, the more clear you are on the actions you need to take to achieve that target. And the more clear you are on the actions, the more motivated you get. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. And you know, just even like thinking about that, is, you know, the 50% number came into mind because, you know, the 50% is because instead of me saying 100% is because the future is so bright without debt. Yeah. So I got the 50% feeling was 50% of I'm glad it's been paid off.
Yeah.
And the other remaining 50% is the future looks so bright.
Yeah.
And so that is one of the best things ever. And another thing, you know, for listeners here that have, you know, medical debt or they have credit card debt or whatever, another, you know, just again, a personal anecdotal story is when I was 22, 23, I had $39,800 in credit card debt.
Wow.
I had more debt than the years of my life at that point.
Oh my gosh.
And so I remember
in thousands.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was, you know, when people use the phrase, oh, I'm just drowning in debt. I know what that feeling is like. Your chest is tighter. Your mind is cloudy. It's just awful. And so I went to this organization called Consumer Credit Counseling of California or of Orange County called CCCS. And I sat down and the guy just, we went over everything. And what they did was they consolidated all of my credit card debt. And they said, here's your monthly payment. You know, so they basically settle all of your debt. They do all the phone calls with creditors. I mean, I've had creditors call me at hours in the morning I didn't know existed. And they were telling me, you owe this, you have to pay it. I mean, it's like, it's the worst thing ever.
Oh yeah.
It's the worst. And so, but the part where I drove home just in tears because of one simple reason is that his name is Tim Enos, you know, an amazing guy. He's no longer at that office, but just an inspirational guy. But the most important thing he gave me was an end date. He gave me a plan and said, if you pay this amount every month, in 4 years, you will have no more debt.
Yeah.
And I got out of that debt 6 months earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have it framed. I have all the statements, you know, framed in my room as a trophy. And
That's awesome.
It's not to highlight the poor spending that I did. It was I made small, actionable progress that compounded over time.
Yeah.
And eventually, and I've been debt-free now for 4 years.
Yeah.
And so if I can do it then, I can do it with the student loans. So that's just a story. It's a big story of encouragement, but taking small actionable steps consistently over time, you will get there. You know, Tony Robbins says in Unlimited Power that if you have a goal and the desire and drive to get there and you're able to be dynamic and adapt along that road, you know, okay, I want to get into shape, but this workout plan's not working. This diet plan's not working. If you don't quit along the way, you will get there.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of if, it's when.
Yeah.
And so
Babe Ruth said it's impossible to beat a man who won't quit. So back on that visualizing point is, you know, how to get real practical with it is just, you know, first of all, think about anytime you decided to go to the gym more, you probably pictured in your mind what you wanted your ideal body to look like.
Exactly.
Right? Like you saw yourself with abs or with losing weight, and that motivated you. So that's proof right there that visualizing your goals motivates you a little bit. But to get really practical with it is, you know, there's a quote that says, by the yard, it's hard, but inch by inch, anything's a cinch. And so what you want to really look at is it doesn't mean you have to visualize, you know, 2 hours a day. Start by 1 minute every single day, you know, preferably in the morning or night, visualizing yourself attaining or doing the activities of a certain goal, okay. Right? Thomas Edison, before he invented the lamp and all the things that he invented, and, you know, history check, I have no clue, right, if he invented the lamp or not, right? So hopefully I'm speaking truthfully.
You're close. It was the filament inside of the light bulb, but you're damn close. It was the close.
Yeah. So there's my history, guys. Having said that, he had to picture that in his mind prior, right? And so, you know, he pictured something and that motivated him to achieve it. So that's just an example right there. Start with a minute a day. If your goal is to lose 3 pounds, visualize yourself having lost 3 pounds, what do you look like? What does it feel like? See yourself getting on the scale. And if you weigh 200 pounds, the scale says 197 and you're celebrating. And when you visualize that, your body actually gives you additional energy and additional motivation to achieve that goal.
Exactly. And so that's a great segue. So into point six, it's a vision. You want to have a vision board with pictures of the habits to achieve that goal. So, yeah. You know, so for those of you who don't know what it is, this actually, Oprah had this massive thing. I think this was like in the 80s or the 90s, something like that. I think it was, you know, it was a long while ago. But she basically was really big on having a vision board. Mm. And a vision board essentially is, you know, I have in my office, I have a cork board. And yeah. you print out pictures of things that you really want in your life. And you yes. pin them up there and you think and you meditate on like, what will it be like when I drive that car? For me, it's an Aston Martin. You know, it's like, I want to know what nice. Job am I going to be to have that car?
It's a long way from the Pinto you're driving now.
Hey, progress is key, man. You know? But you got to start somewhere.
Like, well, hey, progress is key, man, you know, but you got to start somewhere. But yeah, that's a huge one for me is having a vision board. But you added a different twist to this is the vision board has the things and the relationships and the goals that we want to accomplish. But on my board, on really most people's board, there's no habits
yes.
to create to reach those visualized goals.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
So this is something that I learned from one of my mentors. His name's Tom Ferry. He's a very popular real estate coach. And he said, listen, it's not enough just to have a vision board. You need to have a picture of your goal, but you also need to have a picture of the habits that drive the goal. So for example, if your goal is to lose 15 pounds, you would put a picture of yourself or someone who has the ideal body you want. That's a good because that gives you an example of what to shoot after. Now you want two or three pictures of the habits that drive it. So it might be a picture of someone eating a salad. It might be a picture of someone doing cardio. It might be a picture of someone eating more greens, doing things that burn fat, right? It might be a picture of someone saying no to dessert and yes to blueberries, right? So like showing those habits in your mind. And again, you know, one day I'm hoping I'll have kind of the science behind this, but you know, what it does is it drills that picture into your mind. And that picture sticks in your head when you look at that vision board. And when it's time to make the decision, rather than acting on your impulses, you tend to think about the picture of what you want to do. So now you're acting on principle versus impulse. And that's when you make better decisions and have more motivation.
Oh, that's a great point because I think, you know, and again, this goes back to, I want everyone to kind of picture this episode as an upside down pyramid, right? So you start out with the broad, you know, visualize having the goals, and then the next layer is meditating on them, practicing them, writing out steps, and then the final one is now, you know, steps to achieve the goal and goal achievement.
Yeah.
So it's like a funnel is yes. you're thinking globally, but you're acting locally within your, does that make sense? So
there's a quote that Jeff Woods with the One Thing podcast, he says, you know, think big, start small.
It's the exact same notion to that. So highlighting that point of going down down, we'll call it down the pyramid, you have to track these habits, do you not?
You do. And that's point number seven. And this is my favorite point. I mean, this one gets me super passionate, right? Point seven is track your progress. Some insane thing happens when you just have a goal and you track the progress toward that goal.
Exactly.
So Tom will share an example in a minute, and it's an awesome example. I'll share it for myself. Whenever I have a goal, I put a tracking mechanism somewhere visible to track my progress. And usually that looks like I'll draw a little picture of like a thermometer and then I fill it in as I'm achieving the goal. So if my goal is to lose 4 pounds in a month, I will have a little thermometer with some check marks, you know, 1 pound, 2 pound, 3 pound, 4 pound. And each time I lose a pound, I fill it in. So here's how you know internally that this motivates you. If somebody told you run a mile around a track, uh-huh. right? Remember the tracks we had in Tesoro High School?
Tesoro
High School.
Please don't remind me.
Yeah, the things that you ran and I always avoided. But you know, with those track, if someone says, "Hey, you need to run this in 10 minutes," as you're going around the track, you have a sense of what's my progress. Okay, I'm 20%, 30%, 40%.
Right, exactly.
The time's running out. So I need to speed up toward the end, right? If your time is running out, you start to speed up. The same thing happens when you're achieving your goals. Like if you were to run, if I told you, dropped you off in the middle of the desert, and I said run a mile, and there's no time frame, the amount of motivation, you're like not going to know how far you are toward the goal, and you don't know how far you are toward the time frame. So when you have a goal, let's say it is to read 12 books a year,
right,
and you put something on your desk that's like 1 through 12, and each time you read a book, you do one. Now you know, oh shoot, it's January, and you know February is coming, I need to read another one. And it keeps you on track, and it increases your level of motivation, because we like to fill things in. We like to make sure we're making progress. Why? You know, what's another example? Report cards, right? Each quarter you get like, hey, here's where you're at in relation to an A. And when you know where you're at, when you track it, you're more motivated to stay on course. If they took that out of schools and said, we're not going to track grades and we're just going to check in once a year, you would do horrible. Most people would, right? It would be only the smart kids surviving, right? Which eliminates you and I, Tom, right off the bat. So that's my point, is that, you know, companies understand that, schools understand that, we need to understand it on a practical level. If you have any goal, quantify it, say, okay, what's the, you know, how many points is that? You know, 12 books, what's that per month? And then track it as you go.
Yeah, I think, and again, like, so again, a great example of that is, you know, we'll go back to the book example. There's this reading app my friend Gavin pointed out to me, and it's called Leo, and it's spelled L-E-I-O. It's free on the App Store. You can upgrade to like $5 if you want to, which allows you to like add multiple.
You already books. Broke my budget.
Yeah. Yeah. It's already going against your financial goal for this year. But you can read more than one book at a time. But, you know, for me, I'm a single track mind. It's like I just like to do one thing.
Yep.
And so anyway, so this thing basically is, it's a barcode scanner.
Okay.
And you scan with your phone's camera the back of the ISBN number of your book.
Yeah.
Okay. And it adds the, you know, you can take a picture of the front cover. You add an album artwork of it.
Okay.
And it basically takes all the information of the book and it inputs them into this app.
Oh,
and
cool.
So the app, it says, you know, this is the author, this is how many pages it is. And then my favorite part about this is the tracking mechanism of it, is it says, when do you want to finish this book by? And so you set I want to finish this book January 31st, 2019. It's 350 pages long. And then what it does automatically is it creates a plan on a calendar view of how much time you have to set aside to read and how many pages you have to read to finish by that date.
Wow.
And the best part about this is the analytical side that comes from it. So as you archive these books, you get to see how many pages have I read? How many words have I read? How many minutes and seconds do I spend per page? And it is this kind of, you know, Adam Smith in economics talks about this invisible hand that guides us to earn and stuff. And it's kind of like that. And it's, again, it goes to accountability. This app, whether you like it or not, will remind you. I mean, you can obviously shut off the notifications, but it reminds you, hey, don't forget, you know, I want to be reminded every day at 7 a.m. to read this. It reminds you to read it.
Yeah.
And as I've done it, it's been a great thing. So if you want to read more, this app is a great way of doing it.
Great, great point. So the bottom line is tracking the progress. And just think about a football game. Right. Think if there was no scoreboard in a football game. Let's say it's the Super Bowl that's coming up this year, and they announce the score only at the end of the game. Well, you know what happens, you guys, when you're at halftime and your team is behind? You're like, "Come on, let's go! Like, we only have half the game left, right?" And so you're the fans and the players are more motivated to act in that second half. And many times when you're working to achieve a goal, you totally fail in the beginning. Like, there's goals that I've gone after where it's like, I fell so hard on my face that I'm like, oh, there's no way I'll accomplish it now. But there's always that second half. So when you know how you're doing in relation to where you need to be, it helps you manage your time and it gives you more motivation to accomplish it.
That's a great anecdotal part. And so...
As a third string bench warmer on my football team, I can speak with experience.
Well, you know, you have a lot of time looking at the scoreboard, you know.
Yeah.
Point eight here, it says, post pictures of your goal in common places you look. And again, this really goes back to point one, right?
Yeah.
Is but point one and point eight are different, because point one is your yearly goals that you want to accomplish. But this is pictures. And I think, you know, again, you know, the old saying, a picture is worth a thousand words.
Yeah.
When you see the visualization step that you had me do, when you, your mind will run rampant. Like when you think of like, what porch am I sitting on? You know, what is it going to feel like when I'm debt free? And it's like when you see art, it speaks to you because it's a picture.
Yeah.
What does posting a picture of your goal look like in common places you see it versus just simply writing them down? Because again, we have different learners, right? Mm-hmm. We have visual learners or analytic, whatever. What does that do?
Yeah. That's a great question. And I should have put in this, it's better said, post a picture of one goal in a common place, okay? So if you're motivated, we want to get motivated to achieve one goal. That's the context of this podcast right now. So like if your goal is to go to the gym 3 times a week, you would have one picture of that goal, like of either yourself going 3 times a week or a picture that just says go to the gym 3 times a week. And you put that same picture. One of them is at your office. One of them is in your closet. One of them is at your home office. One of them might be a small picture in your car, right? So you have that goal like 5 times in front of you. And that may sound a little extreme, right? And it totally is, because you're hacking your brain to get focused on a single specific goal to make sure you actually achieve it. So getting motivation is a lot like, Zig Ziglar says, you know, motivation is kind of like, you know, taking a shower. I recommend it twice daily, right? Motivation goes away quickly. So when you get motivated, let's say you look at your goals in the morning and you're motivated then, that doesn't stick with you for the rest of your life, right? If it did, we would all be CEOs of companies, right? Yeah, exactly. It goes away frequently. So you have, you know, a picture of your goal at home. You briefly glance at it. You go to the office, you have that same picture. It's kind of running in the background, you see it. You go home, it's in that picture. By the time you're supposed to go to the gym the next morning, there's no question, like you're gonna go. So your motivation level has increased. Is it 1%, 5%, 10%? I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
The matter is, you know, yeah, the point is you're stacking the deck in your favor, giving yourself a stronger desire to do it.
Exactly. And that stronger desire, I think, is really big. It's not a point mentioned here, but we'll call this, you know, point, you know, 8A, essentially, is identifying your why. Mm-hmm. A lot of what we're talking about, guys, again, this whole really, I guess the major theme of this podcast is taking the areas of our lives, like these, the seven equities, the pinwheel, financial, relational, mindset, career, the whole thing. And we're taking the theories and we're adding practical steps to achieve them. That's like a huge, there's a gap there in the, I think, the personal development, like self-help world. And so we're trying to, as best we can with our experiences, to provide actionable steps with it. But a big thing that's really important, and this also helps me when I write my goals, is identifying your why. So a lot of what we've talked about in this episode and other ones prior is the how, which is a major missing key. But identifying the why, you know, we're designed to connect, we're designed to feel and to really feel those emotions. But when you tie them to a goal, it is like the yin and the yang. You know, you have the how and the why together. So what that briefly means is you have a goal that you've identified. So we'll use the reading. My goal is to read 15 books this year.
Nice.
That's my how is I read and listen to an audiobook once a month for 12 months. That gets me to... Right? 15.
Yeah.
That's the how. Why I want to do that is because I want to increase my vocabulary. I want to learn and gain new knowledge. And I want to take that learnable new knowledge and apply it to the areas of my life to become even, like you said, even if I'm 1% better, that's 1% I was not better the day before.
Yes.
And so that's by taking the how, by taking the plan, you know, whether it be weight loss, I want to, you know, make more money. The why is, well, I want to feel better in my clothing. I want to look better for my significant other. Mm-hmm. I want to have more disposable income to go on trips. Whatever it may be, you've got to have an emotional attachment from a why combining with your how.
Yeah. Darren Hardy said a good why will beat the heck out of any how.
Exactly.
Right? As long as that why is big, as long as that's big enough, you will do the actions necessary. So practically speaking, right, that's one of our goals to be practical, is – you have a picture of your goal to go to the gym you know, three times in a week, right? And maybe below that picture, you have a little statement that says, you know, the reason I want to go to the gym is so that I can lose 5 pounds for my a wedding coming up that I have for a friend, so I can look good in the tux, right? Yeah, you have a why behind it.
Exactly.
And, you know, to go even a little bit deeper, you could put even, you know, below that, 5 negatives of not doing that and 5 benefits of doing that, right? So, hey, 1 negative is, listen, I'm going to look fat in the wedding photos, right?
Yeah.
Don't laugh, Tom, because I know you saw me in that wedding. And then 1 benefit is I'm going to feel confident with my friends when they, you know, when they see me, and I don't look way, you know, like I've gained a bunch of weight since the last time I saw them.
Got it. And so now a lot of this is done with a ton of research about, again, how to get there. Is we're providing this roadmap, this kind of blueprint on how to do it, but you've got to do the back end research of how to get that. So, you know, point 9 for us guys is research as much as you can about your goal. So
what does
that look like when you're creating a goal? What research are you doing on the back end?
Yeah. So with this point, I'm going to be as literal and practical as possible, guys. So I read a book called The Motivated Mind, and the author's name is slipping my mind right now, no pun intended. But you know, one of the things he talked about is how to motivate yourself, very specific to what we're talking about now. And so one of the things he mentioned was if you want to get motivated to do something, you have to really become competent in that goal. Like you have to learn a lot about it. And the more your brain knows about the goal, the less fear it has in going to achieve the goal. And the less fear it has, the more motivation you'll have. So here's a really literal example. I love to travel. When my wife and I just booked a trip to Cabo San Lucas. Nice. So in booking that trip, we looked online and we looked at some of the resorts. We looked at what are some fun things to do there? What are some great places to eat? I called my family and friends who had been to Cabo and I said, hey, what did you like about going there? What did you not like? You know, what would you recommend while you're down there? And I just went on this research phase. I probably invested over 2 to 3 weeks, about 2 hours time total. Right, just researching about it, watching YouTube videos and things like that. Well, once I got to a point where like I felt like I was pretty competent in the area, I got really motivated to go there.
Yeah.
Like I was like, oh man, this is gonna be awesome. And so, you know, my fears were, what's the area like? What, you know, what are we gonna do? We're busy, do we have time to plan? But after I got information, those fears were gone. And so once that fear happened, like left, I felt like I had more motivation to plan, to pay, and to actually schedule the trip.
So the more information that you got on research about the goal, the more confident and at ease you felt.
Exactly. And I even, you know, I had to take a few extra days off from work than I had originally planned. So, you know, again, knowing that it was going to be fun and in alignment with what I wanted to do, I was more motivated to say, okay, I can take those days off of work and then I can make up those days in other weekends,
nice.
Right? Which I normally wouldn't have wanted to do, but because I was motivated, this was fun for me, I'm willing to take those actions.
Yeah, and we're definitely going to be overlooking the fact that, you know, I didn't get my invite.
We got you a sweet place in Tijuana, so you're gonna be happy.
You know what? Hey, you know, thanks a lot.
So, guys, as we come to the final step here of this episode, I think compared to, you know, step one, or in comparison to step one, is committing to your first action step is our step 10.
Yeah. Real quick, before we go into that point, I just want to give them a practical thing that they can do. So if you want to get motivated for a goal, sign up to YouTube channels, blogs, read books, things that are relevant to that topic. So for example, if one of your goals is to eat healthier, right, sign up to some YouTube channels where they teach cooking.
Right.
Buy some books about healthy eating and talk to mentors, talk to people who eat healthier. The more information you get, the more motivated you will be to actually cook and eat healthier food. So that's just the practical end.
Okay, perfect. And then so now that we've got, research, we've researched it, and a big part of it is asking people's advice that are further along in that goal.
Yeah.
It's like if you ask someone who's a multimillionaire how to make money, chances are like you'll have some great insights.
Yeah, they're not confused about how they got there.
Yeah. They have a roadmap. They probably, hopefully went over a lot of these steps that we've covered, because a lot of the steps we've covered are from successful people.
Yes.
So but the big part is that they took, in Brian Tracy's book, No Excuses, he talks about taking what? Massive action. So step 10 is commit to your first action step. What points would you recommend to take action we've set the goal, we've researched it, now we're ready to take action. What does that look like?
Yeah. So there's a great quote that I have on my wall that says, all the woulda, coulda, shouldas ran away from one little I did, right? And so it's the sense that, successful people take massive action. I mean, just in the last 2 weeks, I've taken so much action toward my goals that I'm like a totally different person than I was 2 weeks ago in my mind, in a very positive way.
Right?
Because I'm constantly taking action toward my goals. So one of the ways to get really motivated to achieve a goal is to schedule the first action step, no matter how small it might be.
Nice.
Again, a lot of us think, another quote from one of my mentors is that we overestimate what we can do in a year. We underestimate what we can do in 5. So we have these big ideas about, oh, I'm going to do all of this right away. But we have very few of us have the humility and the discipline to say, in 5 years, I can do anything I want with my life, right? So if you want to achieve a goal, take one small step and put it in your calendar, okay? If that's a written calendar, if that's Google calendars, if it's just putting it on your wall, whatever it is, schedule the first small step. And it will give you a sense of inspiration and added motivation. So, how it worked out practically with me. I had a goal this year to meet with a physical trainer and do 3 sessions a month, right? We're in January and I've already completed my 3rd session. We're in January, what is it, the 19th today?
Yeah.
So I've already accomplished that goal for the month. Now, a very busy life. So it was like, all right, what's the first step in getting that done? And that's the question that when I'm setting a goal or scheduling it, I ask myself, is like, all right, what's the first and most simple step I can take? And that first and simple step was, the next time I'm at the gym, I'm going to ask the people what the cost is, right? I'm going to ask one of the associates.
You're doing your research.
Exactly. So, I put in my calendar, I use Google calendars, and I literally put personal trainer on top, on the top row of Google calendars for the day that I was going to go next. And then during that day, I had a little reminder that said, talk to the personal trainer. And I took that first step. And many times the accomplishment of a big goal is much easier after that first step has been taken. So if you want to get an additional level of motivation, whatever your goal is, break it down and say, okay, what is the next even ask yourself, what's the smallest and next best step I can take? So if your goal is to eat healthier, what's one step you can schedule? Well, right away, what I think of is I can schedule to subscribe to 2 YouTube channels about cooking, right? About cooking habits. Or I can research meal prep companies. I can put on my calendar, I know this Friday night for 15 minutes, that's when I'll do it. And motivation, a lot of it is about feeling like you have a sense of control and certainty. And when you have something scheduled, you feel a little sense of relief knowing, hey, at least I know that I'm going to do it at some point.
Exactly. And I also think, and this is, I wouldn't even know if I would call this a practical step as much as it is, because you just went over it, but it's more of a practical feeling.
Yeah.
Is, you ever notice that when you write something down, it oftentimes gets done?
Yes.
Yeah. I know that sounds like ridiculous, but how much of it, post-it notes or ideas on a napkin, or like, it's one of those things where, I think Tony Robbins says, it's like a dream that you have is a dream, and then it becomes accomplished when you write it down or you put it on a calendar.
A dream with a goal or a dream with a dead, a goal is a dream with a dead.
Exactly. And so putting that just on the calendar, I mean, I've also heard it's like, if it's not on the calendar, it won't get done. And it is true. I've put, even like whether it's writing your goals down or writing simple tasks to get there, just write it down. I think that, you know, Zig Ziglar said, you know, 3% of the nation's population physically writes down their goal, and they make 97% of what the remaining population does. And there's no, like, there's no secret to that, except just, guys, just write it down. Just write it down and just get started.
And I don't know where everyone's listening from right now, but like, Tom and I live in South Orange County, California. All right, so we have like 1/3 of all Fortune 500 companies here. I mean, you can go down the street and bump into a mega millionaire. Yeah. I mean, like, I know 3 people from high school that are famous right now, right? Yeah. Like, it's like, it's an area where it's very affluent. And unfortunately, you know, Tom never experienced it. No, I'm just kidding. But having said that, like, you bump into successful people all the time. And so, you know, successful people didn't just fall into a big pot of $1 million. They took a very intentional approach. And, you know, what I've learned in my study of successful people is that they're very organized with their time. They schedule things, but they make sure to, you know, if they have a goal, they schedule an action step. You know, unsuccessful people tend to talk about it,
right?
Exactly. You know, maybe one day we'll start a podcast. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great? And you and I are like, let's start a podcast. Let's go. Boom. Exactly. And it was like within a week, we had all this work done.
Yep.
So just schedule the first action step. And I used to be really bad with this. I used to be the guy who just, you know, I was diagnosed at one point. I don't know if I ever told you this, but with analysis paralysis. My doctor basically said, you know, listen, you, right, you are never going to accomplish anything if you keep thinking about it. So I would just think about all these theories and wouldn't it be great? And, you know, but it was when I started to say, okay, all right, I got to start showing up with results. What can I do this week that's going to help move the ball forward?
Exactly. And so as we come to a close, you know, again, everyone, you know, thanks for sticking with us and everything. But, you know, we've gone over what is motivation, right? We've gone over why, what would tap into you as to why you would even want motivation in the first place. We've outlined to put your yearly goals on your keyboard, something where you see every day. We, you know, you write out the pleasure and the pain exercise of taking the action, writing out a plan, declaring your specific goal and plan to multiple people, i.e. just making sure that other people are keeping you accountable. It is that kind of secret of, oh man, this person in the office or this person I see all the time knows I'm going after it. I should, you know, I don't want to let them down.
Yeah.
Visualizing achieving the goal.
We talked about it. Yeah. Vision board with pictures of the habits that achieve the goals. We talked about the value in tracking it. Exactly. We gave you some tips on that. Posting pictures of the goals in a common place. Researching as much as you can, how you get motivated when you learn about it. And, you know, with that, guys, just anyone who's gone to college, think about the time you researched into the college you want to go to.
Oh, yeah.
You got excited about it, right? So that's a practical example. And number 10, we talked about committing to the first action step. So, Tom, why don't you hit him with what is going to be the literal, practical, you know, 1% action step that they can take from this to increase their motivation this week?
My thing is don't forget to dream. You know, I think that's like a really big thing is dream about the life that you want. And there's this the great quote, and it's by Henry David Thoreau, and it says live the life you've always imagined, go confidently in the directions of your dream. And it's one of those things where you've got to allow a little bit of the wonder and the awe of your goal and what that looks like in your life to take place.
Yeah, think big.
That would be like think big is step one. Step two is write out the goals of how that would be. It's like, okay, well, if that the best version of your life is okay, I'm ripped, I'm in great shape, I make a ton of money and I have a great spouse, then that's the dream. And then create the goals that will help to manifest that dream, and then just take the step that and create the habit that will go to the goals, and the goals go to the dream.
Yeah.
But you have to have a connection with what that's like. So for me, again, like if we go back to the student loan thing, the goal for me is to receive a paycheck and to know I can give, invest, and spend and save in a way that is radical. And I want to know what that feeling is like. That freedom of optionality is amazing.
Yeah.
And that's a huge emotional connection to me. That's my dream, is living a debt-free life. The goals are to pay down the student loan And the actionable steps to take are take any extra dollar that I have outside of a savings net and boom, I dump it in there. When those three things are aligned, you are unstoppable. So yeah. Guys, as we come to a close today, we've gone over those 10 steps. We're going to have a 31-page goal setting PDF that Steven himself has created. It's totally free. Feel free to download that. And we'll tune in next week for episode 2.
Have a great day, guys.